I'm going to start off with what Jesus said in Matthew about the harvest being truly plentiful, but the laborers are far and few between. Because like lots of voluntary places, voluntary organizations and charities, through the months and a year or so of COVID, that knocked the voluntary basis completely down. Town pastors originally started in the Suffolk area in Ipswich around about 17 years ago. And in Haverhill, we started up town pastors around about 12 years ago. It would be 12 years come this July. And I've got to admit, Haverhill at that time was quite, especially the town centre, which town pastors walk through and deal with, was quite lively. Let's put it that way. Quite lively. But these days, things have quietened down. And at that time, every Friday, when we were out, we were dealing with situations most of the time. Some were trivial, some were small, some got a little bit touchy and hairy. And but if it hadn't been for town pastors being on that street and gaining respect from the nightclubbers and the partygoers, we wouldn't have been able to deal with things the way God wanted of us. My attitude to town pastoring is we are part of a wonderful team, or have been, and that we are Christ's representatives. And that is one thing that made a massive, massive difference for when we got queried. Who are you? Because a lot of them thought we were police to start off with. Who are you? And we told them, we're town pastors. We're part of the local churches. And we're on the streets to look after you, take care of you, watch over you. If you're in trouble, we can help, hopefully. And because of that, that made a massive, massive difference within the town. And now, when a lot of town pastors have been going out before COVID, they used to complain because nothing was happening. There were people on the streets, but nothing untoward. There wasn't any life or death situations that a few of us have had to deal with on the streets in Haverhill. So I'm going to give you an idea of what town pastoring about is about, I hope. It's about three things. Three groups of people within the town pastor remit. And these are all really important, especially the first two, I'm going to say. And that is the home prayers. The home prayers. Dot, you used to be one of those, didn't you? Yeah, and there's a few more here who were home prayers. And what that involves is a slot within the appropriate time, a 1 hour slot to reflect and pray specifically on the town. What's happening? And the way that used to take place, the prayers used to phone into the base team, which is another point of prayer. The base team at the old Independent, who used to sit in there and take messages from the home prayers if they really felt something was happening and God was telling them this, or pointing us to a Bible reference which every time that happened, it was so, so relevant. It was so relevant for the town. Those are the home prayers. They are in connection by phone with the prayer base team, which is usually two people. But at the moment, it has been reduced to one person. And we don't like that, being in that big old church, the old independent church, in their prayer room. Lovely room. You can keep warm when the town pastors are out freezing. But there's a nice place for them to come. And then there is the town pastors. Now the town pastors go out in their uniforms, which are given to the town pastors, like that. Do I look like a policeman? A lot of them wear them, but it's that symbol on the back, that one, that makes a difference. And that one. People are very interested in that symbol. Very different. And to cap it all, just to cap it all, there you go. I'm nearly there. And for the winter months, you even get a bobble hat. You don't put it on top of this, but you know what I mean. And then we go out in pairs, the town pastors, and one of them carries this. You know, you'll be surprised what's in here. But you also have a radio, which is linked to the CCTV department that all the cameras in Haverhill watches. And we've had to use these quite a few times to indicate something was happening. And we wanted them to watch town pastors, if asked by the police sometimes, to go in to calm things down. And this is where God is so good, especially when it comes to humans, because most humans like chocolate, don't they? Where's the bag gone? Over there. See, mustn't lose the bag. And Frito bars. They have been amazing how they have resolved arguments within people on the streets over the years. You know, face to face, really giving it what not and doing all the old posturing and everything else like that. And you go, fancy a town pastor? Not town pastor. A Freddo bar. Oh. Seems to calm them down. There is a purpose for the chocolate, especially those who have drunk a little bit too much, because that puts up the old blood levels and blood pressure levels. There's lots of other things in here as well that we use quite a lot. Also bottles of water. This is very useful in some of the dark alleys. These are good. Yeah, the blankets. And there's something there I want to show you, which is my understanding as town pastors, we've never used that. We've never had to use that, fortunately, in Haverhill. And that is for weapons, for knives. Well, I've been seeing some of the pictures on the TV, and the machetes just wouldn't fit in there. But we've never, ever had to use this. So that's good. And I don't think we will in Haverhill. So the request is for volunteers to be either a home prayer person or a base person. The base person has to stay in the base at the old independent church all the time while the town pastors are out. But as I said, the prayer team have got slots for 1 hour. You can get yourself a cup of tea praying at home. I know I do. Get myself comfortable, have my Bible beside me, and let the Lord direct me. As we talked about in prayer earlier on with Scruffy. I don't use Scruffy, by the way. My puppet. That's it. And then the base team are there to take on board all that the home prayers are praying. And they have words themselves as well that they can relay to the town pastors when they come back for something to eat and drink and get refreshed and go out again. And obviously the town pastors do have their own phones as well to contact the base to let them know what's happening. If anything's happening on the street, they need praying for this particular person because he's not feeling well, or there's a bit of argy-bargy, as I put it. It's directed to them, and then that can be passed on to the home prayers. So that prayer is so important. So important for God's work on the streets in Haverhill and Ipswich, Bury St Edmunds, Stowmarket is still going, but there are a lot who have had to stop. Woodbridge was one of them recently. They just couldn't go on. Their volunteer base just went vroom, and that's what's happened to Haverhill. What makes it good if there are more volunteers? You could just pray for 1 month. Have a slot for 1 month. Have a slot to do the town pastoring once a month. I've left at the back through the exit and the entrance in there. Just a list there if you want. Would put your name and your contact. Someone would get back to you to see if you would join us, join town pastors here in Haverhill. So thank you for that listening. I will take this off. I'm getting rather hot. So we're going to have our two readings now, one from Revelation and one from John. So if the readers, Frida and Rosemary, would come up to give us our readings, please. Thank you. Frida first, you're doing Revelation. Hello.
Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 10. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus.
This reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied. My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
O Lord, open my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with love from you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for those readings. So in John's readings, because John wrote Revelation as well when he was on the island of Paphos. So from the book of Revelation and his gospel today, there are two celebrations. One, a marriage to come, and the other, a wedding feast. The Revelation passage, John tells us through a vision, the marriage to come of the Lamb and his bride or wife, who is ready. A marriage to be celebrated with joy. The prophets of old frequently expressed God's favor to his people by the affection of a bridegroom to his bride. As Hosea says, Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, I will betroth you forever. This is from the NIV Bible. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. And in the Good News Bible, it puts it this way. I will make you my wife. I will be true and faithful. I will show you constant love and mercy and make you mine forever. I keep my promise and make you mine, and you will acknowledge me as Lord. John, the author of Revelation, uses the image of the Lamb, the image of Christ, as does Isaiah says. He was treated harshly and endured it humbly. He never said a word, like a lamb about to be slaughtered. Through John's gospel now, we speaks of Jesus as the Word. He already exists. John chapter 1. And as the Lamb of God goes away the sin of the world. As the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. So this vision the Apostle John has given, we see the formal presentation of the bridegroom, of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, in view. But there's one thing it actually says there about the bride and wife. It actually states that bride is ready. And if we refer the bride and wife to the church, are we ready? I think in Haverhill we are. We are ready. We are prepared for things to come. And in verse 9 of Revelation, he is told to write this. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Christ. And I pray that does include all of us here today, listening to this. Every day of the week we be great celebration and joy. In the Gospel of John, we have the story of a miracle at a wedding celebration. For John, this is his first sign, the first sign, as he calls it, of seven signs, which are written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing we may have life in his name. It isn't explicitly stated why Jesus does transform the water into wine. And at first he seems not to have any intention to do so. But he does. He does quietly and never explains his motives. So why and how does Jesus turn the water into wine? Some jokingly have said to have a great party or to be invited to the next one. No. None of those. For John, this was Jesus' first miracle, and for us, we remember it well, don't we? Most of you, I would say, remember this passage in the Bible about the water turning into wine. And as I've said, John used it as his first sign. The miracle performed by Jesus leads him from being a carpenter's son of Nazareth to taking his first steps toward becoming the Messiah. This miracle was an act of the supernatural. However, it's important is its message which is contained within. So does the wedding setting, as wedding and banquets imagery is used to symbolise the Messianic era, as does Revelation chapter 9, then the angel said to me, write this, happy are those who have been invited to the wedding, the feast of the Lamb. And here we see his mother, Mary, Jesus, and his disciples have been invited to this wedding. At the wedding dinner, Jesus' mother informed him that the wine has been consumed. At first, Jesus wanted to ignore the problem, even saying, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. The word hour is a theologically rich term for Jesus' glorification through the passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ to restore the relationship between humanity and God. After more prompting by Mary, Jesus noticed that 6 purification jars were used for celebrating, ceremonial washing. Now, in my Bible, it actually does it in gallons, not litres. Sounds much, much more in litres, actually. But it's still a lot. 20 to 30 gallons of water. That's a lot of water in my book. And having known the area where that was taking place, Cana, that amount of water would have been a miracle in itself. To actually fill each jar up right to the brim. Big old jugs, about that size. Now, my wine making from, I have 2 grapevines, only produce around about 3 gallons, tops. Jesus instructs them, one presumes the servants, and they fill all the jars right to the very top with water, as I've said, and then was told to take some of the new wine to the master of the celebrations. For the interpretation of the miracle, what matters is that a whole lot of water became a whole lot of wine. The master of the feast tasted, and now the new wine that was given to him by one of the servants. He did not know where the wine had come from and was so impressed with its quality, pointing out to the bridegroom that most people at the beginning pour out the good wine and leave with the guests are well drunk and then they pour out the inferior wine. I've tried that a few times with my wine and it doesn't work. You have saved the best for last, he says. So here we have how Jesus turned water into wine. Now the why. So when you first read this miracle in John, what do you focus on? The wine or the winemaker? As we see in the story, the only ones that know how and where the wine has come from were the servants, disciples, and Mary. The master of celebrations, the bridegroom and guests, due to their concentration on the wine and feast, never learnt about the winemaker. Quite without a fuss, Jesus provided. Unlike myself, when I was asked to provide the wine at my brother's wedding, this was quite a few years ago. It was basically a bring and share wedding, And my brother asked me, because he knew I produced wine, to actually provide the wine, which I accepted. But in this particular case, I cheated. I used a kit. And you can get these wonderful kits, and you get the wine concentrate in a tin. And in some respects, that's what, in those ancient of days, the wine was like. It was very thick wine, and it used to be diluted with at least three parts water to one part wine. So a lot of water was used. Now, having produced the wine, it seemed to be, if this is my wine, for my brother's guests and myself, seemed to be enough. It was about 25 bottles, liter bottles. But guess what? It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. I had not provided enough. But in this case, Jesus does. Dread to think how long this celebration went on for, because having been to a Jewish wedding, they usually go on for at least a week, maybe more in some cases, celebrating in different ways. So, the wedding in Cana revealed Jesus' supernatural abilities in public for the very first time, according to John. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, seemed to know he would provide by saying to the servants, whatever he says you to do, do it. And the servants, not knowing what to expect, did it, yes. They were servants and were supposed to do as they were told. But to be told by a woman what to do in that time, that was something different. They assisted in the miracle, the servants, by following Jesus' command. Fill the water pots with water. The winemaker Jesus is this miracle. In this miracle teaches a valuable lesson that he can provide. For John and for us today, Jesus' servants, John explains this further in chapter 11, verse 11. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Miracles and signs aren't all that God wants us to believe in. As John in Revelation, our first reading, points to, the church of Christ, his wife, and the marriage to come with the Lamb, Jesus. So let us be glad and rejoice and celebrate his victory, as I said at the beginning of the Gospel of John. Not only gives us this sign, Jesus' first sign, but also, if you read John, there's another six of them, making seven. Chapter 1, for instance, or chapter 2 here, I should say. The turning of water into wine. The healing of the royal official's son in chapter 4. The healing of the paralytic, see, I'm still thinking about wine, at the point of Bethsaida, chapter 5. The feeding of the 5,000, chapter 6. And the walking on water, chapter 6 as well. The healing of the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus, the last sign. And John goes on to say at the very, very end of his gospel, "Therefore, many other signs were performed in the presence of the disciples, which are written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing God, and believing, we may have life in his name." So let us pray. God of revelation, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, bless us with the riches of your glory. Make us inwardly strong and powerful in your spirit. Let Christ live in our hearts by faith, that rooted in love and founded in love, we may surely grasp with all your people how broad and long, how high and deep is his love. So may we know that love which passes all knowledge and be filled with your fullness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.